Let's turn together in our Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we just sang the words of Psalm 131, which says, "With childlike trust, O Lord, in you I calmly rest, contented as a child upon the lap of his mother." And that's the illustration found in Psalm 131, which is fulfilled here as the little children are literally placed on the lap of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is going to be reading from Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. Just the three verses there. Luke 18, starting at verse 15, is found on page 1016 in our Pew Bibles. Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 15, hear the reading of God's Word. "People were bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.'" And that's as far as reading in God's Word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how are we to view our children? Now, the fact of the matter is, our world has a conflicting view of children these days. Some children are unwanted, thus they are aborted. Other children are pursued at all costs, where parents will go through expensive and exhaustive procedures to secure the possibility of only one child. And after they have a child, some parents so idolize their children that they seem to almost live vicariously through their children, thinking their children can do no wrong and having them in all sorts of different events and clubs and that sort of thing, while other parents, after they have their children, almost ignore their children and make them fend for themselves. Well, today we are going to see that Jesus is going to instruct us not only in teaching us as leaders of the church, as the disciples here were instructed by Jesus how to view their children, but it's also going to be for us as parents to remind us of who our children belong to and how we are to be faithful and consistent in bringing our children to the Lord. We're going to look at this theme that Jesus Christ embraces and teaches us to embrace children because they are members of his kingdom. Earlier in a section in Luke chapter 18, we saw that kind of the theme running through the first few sections of Luke 18 are reminding us of the need for humility. That we are to humble ourselves before the Lord, particularly when you think about the what's going to be coming up in the next section with the rich ruler is not willingness to humble himself before the Lord. Earlier we found in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it was the tax collector who humbled himself. But we see not only humility, but we also see prayer. So we're going to marry these two concepts together, humility and prayer, when it comes to raising our children and bringing them to the Lord. So as humble and prayerful leaders and parents, we are reminded to bring our children because they belong to the Lord. And again, the theme is this: Jesus embraces and teaches us to embrace children because they are members of his kingdom. We start in our first point then with the positive command. The positive command comes to us in verse 15, where Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me." Literally, Jesus is saying, "Suffer the little children, permit the little children, allow them, bring them to me, bring them into my midst, set them on my lap, put them in my presence." In this text, in our passage here, we have parents, likely parents, fathers and mothers who were bringing their children, carrying their children. So the children here, and particularly in the parallel passages, the reference is to small babies, small children. We're thinking of the little ones that you would have to carry. They were not able to walk by themselves. They had to be led. So we're thinking infants and toddlers. That's approximately the age that we're dealing with. And we have parents who are bringing their children to Jesus Christ with a hope that Jesus Christ would lay his hands on their children, say a prayer, a benediction upon these children, and bless these children. Now, this was not an uncommon action. During that present day and age, it was very common. common for parents to find a rabbi or a teacher, some holy man in the context, to bring their children to that rabbi so that rabbi would pronounce a blessing on this child. However, what we find in our text is that the disciples are not willing for this to happen. Jesus' own followers, his disciples, are barring, they're standing in the way. They will not let these parents bring the little children to Jesus. But Jesus says, "Let them come to me." The disciples may have been thinking Jesus is too busy or he's too important. He's teaching right now. He doesn't want to be interrupted. He's doing such an important work of instructing. He just had finished telling a parable, and the next one he's going to be confronted by this rich young ruler. So Jesus is in the midst of a very important teaching section, and the disciples likely thought, don't bother Jesus right now. It probably wasn't a all-out refusal to let children come, but rather at this particular point, at this juncture, Jesus is doing such important work, he is not to be bothered. But Jesus says, let them come. Now, we as parents and as teachers within this church have a right desire to bring our children to the Lord. We, like the parents in our text, want God to be in the blessing, to bring the blessing, to pronounce his benediction to our little ones as well. In our next point, in our final point, we're going to see that Jesus has something to tell us, something to instruct us about our children. But in this first point, we are going to focus on the calling to bring the little children, to let the little children come to me. Obviously, we cannot literally take our children and set them on Jesus' lap. But there are many ways in which we as parents and teachers and as a church community as a whole can bring our children to the Lord even this day. We're going to find four different ways in which we can bring our children to the Lord. The first way in which we can bring our children to the Lord is to read the words of Jesus Christ to them. As we take God's word, as we take the Bible and we open the Bible and we explain the Bible to our little ones, we are in fact bringing Jesus to our children. As we desire Jesus to bless our little ones, we will use the blessed words of Christ's words himself over them. So the first thing we are to do is to read Scripture, to bring God's word to God's little children. The second thing we are to do is to bring our children to the Lord in prayer. You'll remember that this Luke 18 as a whole has one of those themes of prayer woven throughout it. In prayer, we as Christian teachers and leaders and parents are acknowledging that it is Jesus who must bless, who must touch, who must work in the hearts of our little ones. We're going to see this a little bit more in our third point, but it is suffice it to say that we cannot change the hearts of our little ones. We really cannot fully and completely bless our children unless God does the blessing, does the changing of the hearts of our little ones by his Holy Spirit. That is why prayer is such a necessary, such an important part of our work as parents and teachers and as a church community as a whole, that we are praying for our little ones, that God would use the teaching and instruction that they are receiving to change, to convict them, to give them hearts of flesh. So we need to pray. We need to constantly be praying for our children that God would bless them. The third way that we can bring our children to the Lord is by spending time with them. Now, this may not seem immediately evident, but as your children work with you and play with you, along with you and at your side, you are giving them, your children, an opportunity to see how Jesus has shaped and affected your life. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11, "Imitate me as I am imitating Jesus Christ." So when we bring our little children into our lives, and when we're working or when we're in times of play, we are showing them what Christ has done to us. Deuteronomy 6 says this the same thing with parents. This is right after the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy 6, God says, "Parents, teach your children. Talk about the law and your coming and your going. When you're coming into a house, when you're leaving a house, when you're laying down, when you're getting up, when you're rising, throughout the day, talk about God's law. Bring your children into your life and spend time with them." And finally, the fourth way in which we can bring our children to Jesus Christ is to bring them to church. Our children covenant children belong in church. They belong here. As baptized members, God has placed his seal, his name, his mark, his sign upon them, saying that these little ones belong to me. And if we want to bring our children into the blessed presence of Jesus Christ, we will bring them to church, where our little ones will sit under the preaching of the word, hearing the official proclamation of the voice of Jesus Christ, where there is a communal prayer taking place, as well as the benediction, which is God pronouncing a blessing upon us. So in this way, we see if within the worship service, what is taking place is the very thing that these parents wanted. They wanted Jesus Christ to lay his hands on their children, to bless them, to pronounce the benediction upon them. And that's what happens when we take our children to church as well. So Jesus is basically saying, when he's rebuking his disciples, he's saying, there's nothing that I see as more important, more pressing. There is nothing that I want to do more than to take your little ones, hold them in my arms, pray over them, and bless them. So bring them to me. Jesus calls these children, and he calls our children as well. Come to me. It's an invitation. I invite you. I embrace you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of me. Come to me, little one. I love you. Come sit on my lap. Let me hold you in my arms because I love you. You are dear to me. Let me hold you close to my side. Indeed, as Psalm 8 says, out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have ordained praise. So as a church, we should be committed. We should be committed to the continual Christian teaching and education that takes place within this church, be it in Sunday school and in catechism class. We need to be committed to this because we, in teaching our children, are reminding them who they are and to whom they belong. And if our children are, as the psalm says, a heritage, a reward, a blessing from God, then we are to return these children we received from God back to the Lord because they do in fact belong to him. Well, so then in our first point, we have seen that there are four basic ways in which we can bring our children to the Lord. As we move into our second point, we find the negative rebuke that Jesus gives in verse 16. He says, let the little children come to me. That's the positive. And then we have the negative. Do not hinder them. Do not hinder them. The word here in the Greek is koluo, which means do not prevent them, do not stand in the way, do not withhold them, do not keep them away from me. It would be similar to the function of a lid on a jar or a gate in a fence, barring the way, blocking the way, stopping anything from coming through. But Jesus says, don't do that. Rather, these little ones are so important to me that Jesus was willing to rebuke his own disciples for the sake of these little ones. To Jesus, children are important. Godly offspring is a central importance of his work here on this earth. To say this another way, as a church, we are not only rightly concerned about missions and evangelism as something that takes place out there. It's something that starts right here. It starts in our home. It starts in our church. It starts in the context of the family that we are teaching our children of the need for faith and repentance. Mission work starts in the home and it takes place every week with the proclamation of God's word. Jesus wants these little ones. He wants our covenant children taught. You are not your own. You belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus Christ. It would be amiss of us to forsake our children in trying to do the work of bringing others in. It's not an either or, it's a both and. We are fully committed to seeing this church grow from the inside and from the outside as well. Both are the desire of our hearts. Earlier in Luke chapter 17, verse 2, Jesus puts a very strong warning before us. In Luke 17, verse 2, if you want to turn back just one page, listen to this word. It would be better for the one who causes an offense, who causes a little one to sin, it would be better for that one to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck, for that one to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourself. Jesus is saying, woe to you if you cause an offense to these little ones, if you are a reason that one of these little children is sin, it falls into sin and is turned away from following me. But the question remains, how can we hinder the glad response of our children? In this context, the disciples were literally blocking the way. They were standing in the way, kind of like a bouncer. You cannot get in. You can't get through. Get out of here. Jesus has more important things to do. But how can we in the church today or in our families, what things can we do which are hindering the glad response of praise and joyful faith in the hearts and lives of our children? Well, there are certain things that parents and teachers can do, even church leaders can do, that hinder the glad response to Jesus' call. The first thing that we can do that hinders the glad response to the call of the gospel is in making the gospel more difficult than it is. It's to make the gospel so theological, so intricate, that the children are left baffled. I don't understand what the gospel is. We sometimes fall into the temptation of using such lofty words to make ourselves sound smart that we are hindering the glad response of our little ones. Paul compares it to the pure spiritual milk. That's pretty basic, right? So we need to be teaching our children in keeping with their ability to understand, making the gospel abundantly clear. And in case you don't know what the gospel is, it's this. You are a sinner. Jesus died on the cross so that you can be saved. You need to trust Jesus and you'll have life. It's very simple. So we need to be careful not making the gospel more difficult than it needs to be. The second thing, the second common hindrance that we find as teachers and leaders in the church is pride. Pride that makes us, that we view ourselves as more important, so that we have little time or no concern for these little ones. It's a pitfall that we need to constantly watch out for, thinking that my time or my desires are more pressing than training these little ones. And I know from my own experience how tempting that is. You get home from work, you're tired, and your kids have something that they're asking you, something they need help with. It's tempting to say, I'm tired. I've been working all day. Go ask your mom. Ask someone else help you. But as parents, we need to remember, but not only as parents, but as teachers as a whole, we have to avoid the sin of pride that makes us think that we are too important in order to help others. As Philippians 2 says, consider others more important than yourselves. And that includes children. Seeing children as more important than yourselves. Be willing to spend time with them. The third hindrance is anger. An unjustified, unjust anger. Being easily angered can become a hindrance to a child's joyful response. Paul warns in Ephesians chapter 6, particularly to fathers, fathers, do not provoke your children. Rather, teach them with gentleness and kindness. So avoid the hindrance of anger. And the fourth hindrance is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is one of the ways in which we can hinder the glad response of our children. When we say one thing, and we do something else. When we buy our lives, we are hindering the discipleship of our children. Rather, we need to seek to be consistent. Be willing to acknowledge when you sin. Confess your sins, even to your children. Little one, I messed up. I screwed up. I have done something wrong. Please forgive me. Showing that what we believe is not only something that we say, but it's something which affects our lives. So those are the four hindrances parents and teachers need to watch out for. Things that we can do even today that stand in the way of bringing our children to the Lord. But now that we come to our third point, we find that Jesus has some enduring application for us all. The first thing that we learn is that we are to have a proper view of our children. A proper view of our children. Although in that present day and age, and even in the context of today, little children do not have anything to contribute to society in the way of gainful employment. Yet Jesus loves them. He embraced them and blessed them. Scripture is clear in the teaching of the identity of our children. They are holy to the Lord, meaning that they are set apart to the Lord for holy service. Malachi 2 puts it this way. In bringing a godly husband and wife together in marriage, God is seeking offspring, spiritual, godly offspring, to be the next generation of the church. That is one of the things that God desires and delights to see. Christian men and women joined together in marriage and bringing forth children to take their place in the covenant of grace. In other words, these children belong to the Lord and they are already blessed by God since they are born in the context of the covenant community. And as a church, we have a baptism, infant baptism, which is a sign to us and to our children that they belonged first and foremost to God. And in being baptized, our children are set apart, distinct from the world. And as our baptismal form rightly reads, they are heirs of God's kingdom. They are heirs of God's kingdom. Jesus says this in verse 16, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, belongs to these little covenant children. That is not to say that every single covenant child will respond with faith and repentance. Because Acts 2 says in some of the promises that we have, Acts 2, which is in many ways a retelling of Genesis chapter 17. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says, the promise of forgiveness and the reception of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children and for your seed. So the promise of forgiven sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit is for Christian parents and for their seed, for their children. That's why Jesus says in verse 16, to such as these belong the kingdom of God. There are real, tangible blessings that covenant children receive being raised in the context of a Christian home and in a Christian church. What are some of those blessings? Baptism, the promises, signs and seal, consistent preaching, prayer, Christian teaching. There are tangible blessings that our children receive as being heirs of the covenant. But that does not mean, as I said before, that this reception of being an heir of the covenant excludes the necessary response. Just as these little children that were placed on Jesus' lap were not excluded from the call to faith and repentance, so the call to faith and repentance applies to our children today as well. Because Jesus continues in verse 17 by using children to be a spiritual example of what is necessary for those who enter into the kingdom of God. It is not those who have been placed on Jesus' lap. It is not those who have been in the context, been in the physical community of hearing and receiving the pronouncement of the benediction. It is those who have a heart, a childlike heart of faith. That's what Jesus says in verse 17. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter in. Put in the positive, you need to receive the kingdom of God with a childlike heart of faith, and then you too will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. Notice it is childlike faith, not childish faith. A childlike faith is a humble trust, a complete reliance, a dependence upon Jesus Christ as your only hope, as your only Savior. This is something that we all, whether or not we were born and raised in a covenant home or not, it is something that we all need to do, is embrace Jesus Christ with a childlike heart of faith. So I speak first to our covenant children. You have been blessed by God to be in the context of Christian parents and a Christian church that pray for you, that consistently teach you, that bring you to Jesus Christ, that set you on His lap, that pray for God's blessing upon you. It is a gift, a heritage that you have received, but that does not exclude the need for childlike faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is only those who embrace Jesus Christ with this childlike faith that will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. It's the absolute dependence on Jesus Christ for our salvation. It is ironic that in our world, where children, here I'm speaking to your children, it's ironic, children, that you often hear, I'm assuming, you need to be more grown up. You need to act like you're older, right? I'm assuming, children, you hear that sometimes. Here Jesus is saying to parents, you need to be more like your kids. You need to be more like children in your trust, in your dependence upon me. As we grow older, as we become wealthy, we're going to see with a rich young ruler next time, as we become self-sufficient and independent, we're able to take care of ourselves, we're able to feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, if we need something, go out and buy it, we become independent, self-sufficient. Jesus says you need to become like children, recognizing that you are completely dependent on me for complete forgiveness and salvation from your sins. And even spoken in the context of prayer, we learn that even in prayer, we must come as children, crying out to a loving Father, as a children of the King, calling upon a loving God who will give us what we need. To conclude, Proverbs 22 says, train up your children in the way that he should go, so that even when he is old, he will not depart from it. This is a reminder that our children are to be trained from infancy, from when they're so small, already learning who they are and to whom they belong. But this pronouncement that our children need to be trained as children must also be reinforced, must be supplemented with prayer, praying for our children, because we cannot change the hearts of our children. We cannot change the hearts of these little ones. God has to do it. So we rely on God. We cry out to God, please change the hearts of our little one. Give them a childlike faith. Give me a childlike faith that depends on you alone. So today we've seen Jesus embrace and teach us to embrace our children because they are members of his kingdom. The fact remains, we all need to learn to live and walk by faith, trusting Christ alone to save, to bless, and to give us forgiveness. So as Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and we're all children. We're all children that need to come to Jesus Christ. Let them come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such as these belong the kingdom of God. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this encouraging but also challenging word spoken to parents and teachers and leaders, that we are to be careful in how we lead and how we instruct and how we teach, that we dare not stand in the way, that we dare not hinder the glad response of joy and thanksgiving, that childlike faith. We do pray, Lord, that we would be faithful in bringing our little ones to you, and we cry out, O Lord, by your Spirit, change our hearts, change the hearts of our children, so that we might all have childlike faith, trusting in Christ alone for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.